This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. We've got a great show. We've got best-selling author, award-winning author Thomas Wharton coming on the show. And Thomas is going to talk to us about his latest novel, Wolf Moon Dog. So it's a very intriguing book, very interesting, lots of thought gone into it, because you know, we see the main character go through all kinds of stages of their life over and over and over again. So I'm not going to give it all away, but we'll come back and talk to Thomas a little bit about the book. And then, of course, we want to talk to him a little bit about writing in general, his writing styles. And I'm sure he's one of those that gets up at 3:30 a.m. every day to write 5,000 words or more. So we'll find out.
I wish.
So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Hey everybody, this is Tim Link, the host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Got some exciting news for you here today. My audiobook is now available. Wagging Tales, Every Animal Has a Tale is now available in audiobook form through audible.com, amazon.com, and iTunes. It's a collection of 32 conversations I've had with the animals. It's a fun, interesting, heartfelt book that's suitable for all age groups. So everybody pick up a copy of the audiobook, Wagging Tales, Every Animal Has a Tale. You'll be glad you did.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is award-winning author Thomas Wharton. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tim. Glad to be here.
Yeah, super excited. And I love the book, Wolf Moon Dog. I don't want to give too much away, but tell us a little bit about the book and maybe the main character, Wolf, and let us get our teeth into it a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. So Wolf is the main character, and he starts out in the story as a wolf in the Ice Age. And he's kicked out of his pack, and he's forced to join up with this strange new species that walks on two legs and knows how to control fire and stuff like that. So he, in effect, becomes the very first dog. And from there, his story, well, you could say he reincarnates throughout history, which gives me an opportunity to look at the various ways that human beings and dogs have interacted through the ages. So there's a lot of various adventures in store for Wolf throughout the story before, at the end, we go back to that first life of his as the very first dog and see how things turn out for him in that version of his life.
Nice. Yeah, and I love the fact that you took the historical approach to it. You know, when we're talking about, you know, a dog that's reincarnating, that's fascinating enough, and all the versions and all the different areas, but you really took us through a lot of historical areas, historical facts, and placed Wolf front and center at each and every one of those.
Yeah, I originally thought that it was just going to be a story, a fable, I guess you can say, because I let the dog talk, right? It's not realistic. He can talk to the humans and they can talk to him. So, but I was just going to tell that story in a fabulous sort of way, right? That what would it have been like to be the very first dog? But the more I thought about dogs and the history of our relationships with them, the more I wanted to tell all these other stories. So I just let my imagination kind of go and thought about, you know, what are some moments in history where strange and wonderful and interesting things happen between humans and dogs. For instance, you know, there's the chapter in set in the Middle Ages at a time when, in Europe at any rate, they used to put animals on trial for doing things that they saw as being wrong, right? So this dog ends up on trial for killing some chickens. And that's historical fact, but I'm kind of playing with it and fictionalizing it.
Yeah, I guess the part, I mean, because obviously Wolf goes from, you know, from ancient Egypt to ancient Greece, basically through the Cold War, all these different things. And of course, back to the very beginning of time, we'll say, when he meets these strange two-legged critters, us.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So I was sitting back and thinking, okay, if I was writing this, like you had mentioned, the playing with the idea that here's a wolf that all of a sudden becomes a dog and goes through all these different historical things is fascinating. fascinating enough, but now you're adding on the layer of having to know more about the events, the big events of the time. So I guess tell us a little bit about then the research that went behind that, because obviously there's going to be some historians that are reading this and they'll say, okay, it is fiction, but on the other hand, we got to make this as accurate as possible.
Well, I think this is where my lifelong love of reading really helped me, because I've been an English prof for years. I taught English, so I was drawing on Chaucer. I was drawing on Victorian literature. There's a chapter that's very much an homage to Jane Austen. So, in a sense, I did a fair bit of research into all of these historical moments, but at the same time, the stories kind of welled up from all of these years of reading fiction and literature and myth and all of that sort of thing. And so, this is probably the quickest book I've ever written, because it was just so much fun to write about dogs and to kind of let dogs and my love of books and reading come together in this.
Absolutely. And as I always say, you put a dog in it, hey, you got a bestseller.
Yeah.
So you're in great shape there. Well, I love that aspect. So let me play with that a little bit more then. So you were going to write a little fable, a fable about wolf to dog through periods of time. And then all of a sudden you tie in these specific periods of time, the most historical times, we'll say. But now you're saying you're pulling all the great authors that you know and love. So which parlayed before the other? Was it more of, I'm going to look at this historically and say, okay, do something around ancient Greece, and this particular author I know writes about that, and I love that author? Or was it the opposite way around? Was it, okay, I pull them from these authors that I know and love so well, and what are some of their historical books and writings that they've done?
Yeah, I think that's more the way it was. Just thinking about, okay, what are some of the famous dogs in history? What are some of the great stories in history that I love? There's the chapter about Cerberus, right? The three-headed dog of the underworld.
Right.
A creature that I've always been fascinated by and always loved. And so I just thought, well, I've got to write a chapter about that. There's no way I can get around that. So let's have fun with the Cerberus myth, right? Instead of having this terrifying monster at the gates of Hades, what if he's a dog, he's a puppy, he wants to love and be loved, and he's stuck in this awful job. So, bringing together the way I feel about dogs and a story like that, it's almost like the story kind of suggests itself. Well, what would a dog feel if it was stuck in a situation like that? And how would it be rescued, right?
So taking a part of history, a dog in history, and sort of making them in a way modernized. What would that dog look like today, or how would we act with that dog today?
Sure. I'd say that's pretty accurate, because my model through all of this was my own dog, Sam. And we got him a few months before I started working on the book. I had no idea I was going to write about dogs. I've always loved dogs, but I never had any plans to write a book about them. And then we got this little puppy. And I was playing with him in the yard one day, and he's jumping around and running around and just being a puppy. And it just struck me, like, how on earth did we go from these badass wolves of the Ice Age to these cute little doofuses in our lives, right, who are so important to us? And it was the light bulb went off, and it was like, I could write about that, right? So Sam was kind of, he was always the center of this in a way. He was always my inspiration. And so I was always thinking, whatever the time period was that I was writing about or what have you, I was thinking of him and how would he react to being in this situation?
Nice. I like that. What would Sam do? I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, I think it's very apropos. I always look at things. I'm a firm believer there's no such thing as coincidences. And I can pretty much gauge that you didn't think, well, let me get a puppy and then I'll learn how to write about dogs. That was not the case.
No.
But I do think he was your muse. I think there was a reason he came into your life at that time and sort of, lit that light bulb on how we can write, to write this novel. And, him being your inspiration and muse along the way, I think is fantastic.
Yep. It was all very serendipitous and not planned and and just came together wonderfully. Yeah.
Nice. I love it. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, continue our conversation with bestselling author Thomas Wharton, talk to him a little bit more about his latest novel, Wolf Moon Dog, and also talk to him about writing in general. We've already gotten a little bit of the mastery. I want to know a little bit more about it. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Hey, are you looking for a fun, exciting game to play with friends, family, and just good old entertainment? Well, check out QR Hunter. QR Hunter is a build-your-own scavenger hunt game played on your mobile phone with physical QR codes you hide for your players to find. You can add clues, picture clues, hints, and more. A leaderboard at the end of the game keeps the time for each player so you know who did the event in the fastest amount of time. Even better, when you're done with the event, you can just move the QR codes around and use the tiles again over and over again and keep the scavenger hunt going. It's hours of fun for friends, family, and more. So check out QR Hunter. You can find them at Amazon. Go to Amazon.com. QR Hunter, the scavenger game for your friends and family.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with award-winning novelist Thomas Wharton in his book Wolf Moon Dog. Now, Thomas, you talked to us a little bit about in the first half about how the book came about and Sam being the muse and always wanting to write a dog book, but yep, here you go. And so we know all about it. Now that it's done and dusted, what's the feedback on it? And are you getting any notes and letters in musing saying not only they love the book, but they loved certain parts of the book?
Yeah, I really wrote this book for, I guess I would call it the demographic of dog lovers who are also book lovers, or if you want to put it the other way, book lovers who are also dog lovers, because I'm one of those. And so I just wanted to have fun with it and write the kind of book that as a dog lover and a reader, I would want to find on the shelf and go, oh, look at that. That's right up my alley. So it has been great to hear from people like that, right? People who love reading, love dogs, and just love the intersection of that that I've tried to put together with this. So yeah, I've been very happy with the feedback. Yeah.
Well, you are in the right place. That is what Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio is all about, for sure. But we always put the dog first. That's the key.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like that.
So putting together the background of the book, you mentioned that it sort of flowed easily and it was the easiest book that you had ever written. What was the timeline on it when you got that light bulb out in the yard playing with Sam to getting it written? And then obviously then the timelines that go along with it as far as getting a publisher and editor and all the wonderful stuff that goes along with that.
Well, usually I'm a pretty slow writer. It takes me a long time to find my way into a story and into what a book is going to become, with lots of dead ends and lots of tangents that go nowhere and looping back and so on. So it was quite a surprise to me to, I would say, you know, from light bulb to published book was about a year, which for me is lightning speed. So that just showed me how much I just enjoyed, you know, working on this thing and how inspiring it was every day to get up and think to myself, all right, I get to write about dogs. Right? So, yeah.
Well, now you'll be known as the dog guy. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You have to add a dog to every book and Sam will not take it any other way.
Absolutely. Yeah. The one I'm working on right now, there's definitely a dog in it. And he was added post Wolf Moon Dog just because it was like, yeah, I cannot write another book without having a dog in it. So here we go.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that is, I mean, a year from light bulb to actually on the shelves. That's amazing, actually. So kudos to you. And I love the fact that you said you were just excited to get up in the morning and write. Because, you know, don't get me wrong, writing is fantastic. Publishing is even better there. And there's probably no better feeling to walk into a bookstore and see your book on the shelf, or better yet, in somebody's hands. Not being passed along from hand to hand because us authors need that money. But other than that, you know, there's nothing better than that whole process. But, you know, the process can be very tedious and time consuming. And, you know, oftentimes by the time you had the idea to when it actually hits the shelf, you know, like you mentioned, you're off to your next book by then.
Yeah. You know, I think part of what made it easier to write was that when I made that decision that I was going to let the dog talk and it was going to have that element of fables and that element of kind of playfulness, I wasn't going to take it so damn seriously as I often do with a story that I'm trying to tell. The book before this one was a very sort of darker, much darker kind of novel about climate change and environmental catastrophe and so on, which took me ages to write. But as I say, when I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to tell a story in which the dog can talk and people can talk to the dog, I think that giving myself the freedom to just play like that was a big part of why, as I say, you know, getting up every morning, my first thought was, all right, I get to go back to, you know, Wolf and see what he's going to do next.
Nice. And I love how you position that, you know, because you get intimate with that character, you know, that character, but yeah, you're allowing that character to not only talk, but also you're waking up asking, not what am I going to have Wolf do today? What's Wolf leading me to?
Yeah. 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 The dog, it was very much a kind of process of, as I say, thinking of a story or a character like Cerberus and then thinking, what would a quote unquote real dog do in a situation like this? And that little puzzle was there for me to solve every day that I sat down to write, right? The puzzle of how do I translate my dog, Sam, and the way he acts and the way he behaves? He can't talk. I can't talk to him in words, but he's very, very, you know, eloquent in his own language of body language, barking and all, and facial expressions, you know, the big puppy eyes, all of that stuff. How do I translate all of that into this kind of playful story about a dog who thinks and talks the way people do? And so, yeah, it was a kind of a fun riddle to solve every day when I sat down to write.
Nice. You had, obviously, this is not your first novel. We know that. You're also very well known for your short stories. How do you compare the two as far as a writer? How do you say, okay, here's my method when I'm writing a novel, and here's my method when I'm writing a short story? Is it more of timelines, or do you take it at a different type of approach?
I think it just depends on the idea, right? You know, I get hit with an idea, and I won't be sure at first whether it's a story, just a short story, or a novel. But pretty quickly, you know, I get a sense of, okay, I think this is just going to be a short piece, because the idea, you know, it can't hold the weight of hundreds of pages. It's just an idea that needs to get out on the page in a couple of pages and be done with it. Whereas other things, when they start to get more sticky and they start to accrete more and more stuff, characters, ideas, thoughts, then that becomes more, you know, takes me down the path of realizing, okay, this is going to be a much longer sort of commitment to tell this story. And I've enjoyed, you know, the phenomenon of flash fiction over the last few years, right?
Right.
Realizing that, yeah, you know, you could tell a story in 500 words. You could tell one in 250 words, right? It's a challenge of its own kind, and it's a sort of a fun puzzle or challenge to try to solve. How can I tell this as quickly as possible? It's something that I started to teach in the writing courses that I taught for many years here at the University of Alberta. Was I realized that the students have trouble, you know, they're just starting out as writers, and they often have trouble and they struggle with trying to put together a longer story. So it was really useful to expose them to the idea of flash fiction and to tell them, you know, just try to tell this in a few words, and don't worry about, you know, trying to extend it or, you know, drag it out or what have you, right? You can just be very, very brief with this.
Right. And, you know, and that's very important. I love the fact that you brought up flash fiction. You know, it's in today's society, you know, we're sort of fighting for everybody's attention in so many different avenues.
Yeah.
The important thing is to get something out there, get your thoughts, get your ideas, get your message that you have, the things that are coming to you, get it down on, we'll say, paper, as mm-hmm. I would yeah, say, right. Type it out, showing my age, but get it out there. And then you get to determine if can I get you know, is it 250 words? Is it 500 words? Or is it going to develop into a full-blown novel? And but the key is getting it started. And there's nothing wrong whatsoever, especially in today's society, of getting your message out multiple times in short bursts. And that's what people like, especially the young audience.
Yep. Sometimes less is more, you know. There's a chapter in Wolf Moon Dog that's, I think, just a couple of sentences long. It's the chapter about dogs being trained to hunt runaway slaves. And I tried to write that as a longer chapter. And then I realized, you know, this really isn't my story to tell in a way. So I'm going to invoke the sort of flash fiction rule and just see if I can get the point across in as few words as possible. The point that, you know, the terrible idea of training a dog to treat a human being like prey. Right? And just cut it down to that basic one fact.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that, you know, like I mentioned before, that I love the little history lessons that are thrown in here, because there's some people that don't know that story. And as you, as the writer, you know, as the author, you know, you brought it to their attention. And now they, if they choose to investigate a little bit further, even though it's very horrific, they can do so. So it's a nice little tidbit. When people pick up a copy of the book, Wolf Moon Dog, what do you hope they gain from it? What's the big message, or what is the big pat on the back that make you happy?
Well, I just hope that readers come to feel the same way I did by writing this book. And that is just to gain a even more appreciation and love for the fact that we have dogs in our lives. It's a bizarre, wonderful miracle that thousands and thousands of years ago, this other species agreed to kind of join with us, join forces with us and team up with us. And we've been together ever since. And I think we kind of, you know, because dogs are so ubiquitous and it's sort of like they become normal and ordinary, we can miss that, the miracle of that, right? That two species have been together for so long and they've shared so much together. And that just amazes me every time I think about it. And that's what I'd really like to share with readers.
Nice. I love it. I love it. Take time and appreciate your dog. Put your phones down when you're walking your dog. That's what
yes,
I gotta say.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I don't like seeing that. Yeah.
It drives me crazy. But as I get older, more and more things drive me crazy. So that's a different story.
Yeah.
Well, Thomas, where can people find out more about you, where you're going to be, get a copy of the book, all that wonderful stuff?
Well, you can go on the Random House website and find out more about my book. I have a website myself, thomaswharton.ca, where I've got some of my short writings available for people to read. I also have, especially for dog lovers, a whole portfolio of photographs from the dog park. So
nice.
Something that went along with writing this book was taking my camera to the dog park and just taking photos of all the dogs in all their wonderful, ridiculous glory as they play and run around. So, yeah, that's, if you love dog photos, please check out my website.
Absolutely. I'm seeing a tabletop book right now, a coffee table book.
Hey, all right.
Yeah. Hint, Random House. There's something good there.
Good idea.
I only take 10%, Thomas. Don't worry. Just 10%. That's all I need. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Everybody go out and pick up a copy of the book, Wolf Moon Dog, a novel by Thomas Wharton. It's an educational, fun, interesting, intriguing read. I mean, it's got all those elements. So it's a nice little stew. I love that. So everybody pick up a copy of that. And Thomas, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a pleasure. And we'll look forward to chatting with you somewhere down the road.
Sure. Thanks so much, Tim. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, or for any of the shows, drop us a line. You can go to PetLifeRadio.com, and we'll be glad to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts at PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights, Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.